Pray with me as we get started. Father, I pray this morning that you would remove everything that distracts us from giving you our attention, giving your word the place that it deserves in our thoughts and in our hearts, that you might fill us with your Holy Spirit this morning, that you might give us the gift of wisdom and revelation, that through your word we might come to know you better and better. Father, I pray that from your glorious and unlimited resources, you will empower everyone in this room with inner strength through your Spirit, that Christ would make his home in our hearts as we grow to trust in you more, that our roots will grow down into God's love, that we might stand strong. Lord, work a mighty work in each one of our hearts and our lives this morning. Take us back to the time when Paul, if he were speaking to us today, if he were taking this pulpit and he were encouraging us and admonishing us, Lord, fill us and help us, Lord, to apply what we are hearing, applying your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So in case you don't know, we're in the book of Colossians. We're doing a series going through the book. Basically, week to week, we're going idea to idea. Last week, Paul shared this idea, this notion that we are to suffer for the sake of Christ. We have not been called as Christians to live a happy, you know, prosperous, easy, smooth living life. We've been called to suffer, and that through suffering, through the trials and struggles of this earth, we become pressed and we become more and more like Christ as we learn to lean upon him and hold on to him. So page 950 in your Bible, there will be verses up on the screen as well if you want to follow along in the scripture. Anyway, Paul has begun this message in verse 24, declaring that he would gladly suffer for the sake of Christ and for the sake of his mission. He took seriously the call, take up your cross and follow me. If anything, and if anyone in the scripture that we can see who definitely applied this to his life, it was Paul. He took up the cross and followed Jesus. He shares his testimony to be an encouragement to others and to call us, all of us, he calls us the church to do the same, to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel, to accept the responsibility that we have been given to share this message to those who would suffer along with Paul. He says, the secret is in you. His presence gives us assurance in sharing his glory, sharing the glory of Christ. So we pick up Paul's passion and mission in verse 28 this morning. He identified the purpose of his ministry as he says in verse 28. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. He says that we preach, we warn, we teach with the wisdom of God, relying on Christ in order that we would present people perfect in Christ. This is the call to discipleship. This is what we are called to do, to make disciples, to preach, to warn, to teach. So I got to thinking about this. Who is going to present you to Christ on that day? Not even the question of who you are going to present to Christ, but who's going to present you? Who's going to say, you know, that Doug McClure, he's one of mine. I present, well, maybe he doesn't want to take credit for that, but anyway, just kidding, Doug. Who's going to present Doug? Seriously, though. Okay, I owe you lunch. Who's going to present Marion? Marion, who's going to say, here's what I have accomplished? Who's going to present you? Who are you going to present to Christ yourself? Not just who have you influenced, but who have you discipled? Who have you come alongside of and taught? You know, this is how you walk with Christ. This is what it means to be a Christian, to live your life completely surrendered, to sacrifice all. Who are you going to present? Listen, I was listening to a sermon. I think it was Brian Jobe said this. He cited statistics. And he said, and I know this applies to many of you in this room. He said that after 6 years Christians stop inviting people to church. Statistically, just, I mean, like, right down to zero. Stop inviting people to church. And I wonder, what is going on that not only are we not making disciples, we're not even inviting people to church anymore once we've been a Christian for a while. Now, think about that for a minute. I know this applies to you. I know it applied to me for a number of years. I could say the same thing. That is, I wasn't inviting people to church. What is it about that? Well, I think it's because we stopped relying on Christ. We were unwilling to suffer. We were unwilling to be embarrassed. We were unwilling to share the truth. We became cold and indifferent. We talked about this last week. Cold and indifferent to those who are lost. Let's pick up verse 28, where Paul jumps in this text. He says, "So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ." That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. And in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Listen, every true disciple of Jesus Christ is called to proclaim Jesus Christ. How else are people going to know? In your circle of influence, you have a number of people that you are the only example of Christ. You're the only person who has the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with another person. Not just how's it going with church, it's what Jesus Christ has personally done for you. What has he done for you? How do you express that to another person? When I became a Christian, my life changed. This is how it's different. Jesus Christ had done something in me. There's some inner strength that I didn't have before. And now, this is how I walk. This is how I behave. This is how I think. We are all called to warn people that their hope is in Christ and not in the possessions or the pleasures of this world. And we are to teach them to obey all that Christ commands. We are to make disciples. Listen, you do not have to be a preacher. Pay attention. You do not have to be a preacher, a teacher, a Sunday school leader to share Christ. Listen to this story from R.C. Sproul. Some years ago, a woman in Africa became a Christian. Being filled with gratitude, she decided to do something for Christ. She was blind, uneducated, and 70 years of age. She came to her missionary with her French Bible and asked her to underline John 3:16 in red ink. Mystified, the missionary watched her as she took her Bible, sat in front of a boys' school in the afternoon. When school dismissed, she would call a boy or two and ask them if they knew French. When they proudly responded they did, she would say, "Please read this passage that's underlined in red." When they did, she asked, "Do you know what this means?" And she would tell them about Christ. The missionary says that over the years, 24 young men became pastors due to her work. Now, does this sound like a woman who understands the call of Christ? Yes. Someone who is committed to proclaiming the good news, warning and teaching those that she is able to reach. Now, blind and old, elderly, uneducated, she sat in front of a boys' school. Who was she able to reach? She was able to reach all these young kids at school because she was willing to sit there in front of the school, blind as she was, and call out to them. What was her secret? Seriously, what was her secret? And what have we lost at 6 years? What have we somehow lost after we've been a Christian for 6 years? It says she was filled with gratitude for what Jesus Christ had done for her. Her secret was being filled with gratitude. Listen, do you share this woman's faith? Do you share her faith that Jesus Christ is the way, the only way, and the truth, and the life? Do you share that? You have that in common with this woman? Of course you do. Do you enjoy the same salvation that she has through Christ? Salvation through faith alone by God's grace? Of course you do. You share the same benefits that she had. Where is your gratitude for all that God has done to you, leading you? Where is it leading me? Seriously. Is there no gratitude in your heart? Because apparently after 6 years, we must lose this somehow. We take for granted that we're saved, that our ticket is punched, and whatever comes or whatever happens the rest of our lives, we're secure, we're safe. And we no longer feel the pain and the hurt, the anguish over seeing someone else who doesn't know Jesus Christ. Paul's goal in proclaiming and admonishing and teaching was to bring believers to maturity. Paul was not satisfied that people just believed in Jesus. He wanted to raise them up to maturity in order that they would in turn mature in Christ and that they would reproduce. This is what it says in 2 Timothy. As he speaks the truth to Timothy, he says this, 2 Timothy 2:2. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Paul says we want to present them to God perfect and fully mature. A person who's perfect and fully mature doesn't mean they're perfect, never make mistakes. It means that they're fully mature in Christ. That is, they are heading in the right direction. They're growing in that relationship. They're growing and being raised up to a point. Raised to a point. Hello. Could be my battery. I'm muted. Well, can you hear me? Hello, you can hear me? I can. Okay. Katie's mic. Whoa, there we go. Well, let's see how this goes. Apparently, God wanted me to pause for a minute so you could think about what I'm saying. Okay. Who is going to present you fully mature in Christ? Who is going to present you fully mature in Christ? Will anyone present you fully mature in Christ? Will anyone stand next to you besides Jesus on the day of judgment and say, I present this person to you. Look at all that you have done through him, through me. Fully mature. What has he done? Well, he's gone out and he's discipled others. What about the woman? What about the African woman? Who's going to present her? Who taught her and helped her mature and grow? Who gave her this idea that we would be grateful for all that God has done for us, that she would, because of her gratitude, go out and do something on their behalf. Listen, I don't know who's going to present you. I don't know who's going to present me. Thinking about this to myself, I don't know who's going to present me. Honestly, last Monday, every Monday mornings, I meet with a couple guys from Sullivan. And Gordy and Tim, we do discipleship, and I'll do my best not to mention their names, not to embarrass them or whatever, but this last Monday, as we were doing this discipleship study, I'll just say one of them said to me, Mel, I do not know why I have waited so long. I have wasted so much of my life not serving Christ, not discipling other people. I just feel regret and sick to my stomach that I'm starting so late. And I wish I could use their names. Anyway, and I just said, listen, it's only been 2 years ago that I invited both of you, Tim and Gordy, I invited you guys to sit down, study scripture, that I could pour into you, invest in you, and make disciples. I was 45 at the time. And Gordy, Tim, excuse me, I got the same question. What took you so long? Mel, what took you so long? You were 45. I'd been a Christian for 20-some years. What took me so long to pour into, intentionally invest in a couple other people? You know, the question is this, is who are you going to present to Jesus Christ, fully mature? A person who's fully mature is somebody who is also a spiritual parent. So the vision is, Gordy and Tim, that after we go through this discipleship, and I invest in you, you in turn are going to invest in other people. You are going to be fully mature and complete, and you're going to turn around and invest in other people. Prayerfully, I will present both of them on that day to Jesus Christ. This is two fully mature and complete people who are matured in Christ, and they are investing in other people themselves. This is the call to discipleship. This is what Paul said to Timothy. He said, find other trustworthy people who will teach other people. This is the call to discipleship. Listen, there is still time. I was roughly 45. My friend Gordy's 56. I've already blown it, so I'm just call user names now, but listen, there is still time. Even if you knew for a fact that you only had 1 year left, whether you're 25 or whether you're 75, it doesn't matter. If you had 1 year left, who will you present to Christ fully mature? Will anybody present you to Christ fully mature? Paul says, listen to how Paul describes the joy of making disciples and the eternal rewards, the fruit from your labor. In the Philippians 4, he says this, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. You are my joy. You are my crown. And 1 Thessalonians, after all, what gives us hope and joy? And what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? It is you. Jesus asked the question, why are you investing in the things that are temporary in this world? They don't last. Store up your treasure in heaven. What is he talking about? What's going to last beyond this age, beyond your life? It's souls. It's relationships. Now, you've got relationships with people that are not going to last for eternity. Do you know that? Because you're going to be in heaven, and some of the people you're investing in do not know Jesus Christ. They're not going to the same place. Those relationships are not going to last. But those people you pour into, and Paul specifically says, those that I poured into, those I worked for, those I anguished over, those I prayed over, those I invested in and present fully mature and complete, they are going to be my joy and my crown. And I'm going to wear that crown for the next billion years. For the next billion, billion, billion years, I'm going to wear that crown. And your time is short. Even if you got another 50 years, your time is short. Who are you going to present? What kind of crown are you going to wear? Jesus said, don't store up treasures here on earth. What are you spending your time, your energy, your finances on in this earth that's going to endure and going to last? Nothing. Unless it's for the sake of Christ and it's for the sake of other souls that you might present them mature and complete. This is the vital importance of discipleship. And this is why Satan is so successfully discouraging us as Christians from even inviting people to church. He knows that that's going to be another crown for you if they come to know Christ and you help them grow and fully mature in Christ, that they will in turn disciple others. So Paul has stated the purpose of his ministry, presenting believers mature in Christ. He talks about the commitment that it's going to take. Listen, it takes real commitment to invest in other people. His passion, his drive, his energy. Listen to what he says again, verse 29. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending upon Christ's mighty power that works within me. Verse 1 of chapter 2. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul said, I work and I struggle so hard. And it's Christ's mighty power that's working with me. And you can't muster it up yourself. It's not within you. It's the power of Christ living in you. And the reason we don't is because we focus on our limitations. The number of times in the first couple years that I've spent with Tim and Gordy, the number of times that either or of them have said to me, Mel, you are different. You can do this. You can teach us. We can't do this for other people. Over and over they would say this. All the while thinking in their minds and in their hearts about their own limitations. I can't do this. I'm unable to do this. I can't understand. I mean, how am I supposed to do this? All the while not realizing that it's never going to be about I. It's going to be about Christ in you. This is where our power is to make disciples, to minister to other people, to study scripture, to share with others, to help them walk, to help them grow. I pray for you. I agonize over you. I sacrifice for you. I work. I struggle hard for you. And I do it all for the glory of Jesus and for the benefit of his church. This is what Paul did. And I pray I can say the same thing. The truth of the matter is that biblically authentic ministry is hard work. And this Greek word translated labor, the Greek word that's translated for labor was used for work that left one so weary that that's as if a person had taken a beating. It means to complete exhaustion. When Paul says, I labor for you, he is saying, I work to complete exhaustion as though someone had beaten me. This is how exhausted I am working and struggling for you, that you might be mature and fully complete in Christ. This is his example. And there are many examples of people throughout the years. Moody says, it said this about Moody, that one time during his bedtime prayer, he just rolled his bulk into the bed and said, Lord, I'm tired. Amen. John Wesley, very famous preacher in England, used to ride, I suppose his horse, ride for 60 to 70 miles per day. Rode 60 to 70 miles many days of his life and preached an average of 3 sermons per day. Paul's example and his passion are a good model for us today. We will never have an effective ministry unless we are willing to work even to the point of exhaustion. The question is are you willing? Are you willing to sacrifice for the sake of Christ, sacrifice for the sake of the church, let alone sacrifice for your neighbor or your friend, your child, your grandchild? Who is it that God has called you to? Listen, remember this 70-year-old African woman? Okay, maybe you can't be 70 years old, and maybe you can't be blind and uneducated. I understand all that. She's got all these advantages over you that surely, with all those advantages she has, there's something in you. Maybe you can do something for the sake of Christ. Maybe you're not 70. Well, okay, maybe some of you are 70 or older, okay? But why let your age be a hindrance? Seriously, why let your age be a hindrance to sharing the gospel? You're not blind. So why let your sight be a hindrance? Something you can see of all this independence, somehow your sight is a hindrance. Some of you, at least part of you, are educated, so don't let your intellect be a hindrance. I'm assuming some of you are educated. Some of you are educators. I hope that you guys are educated. All the parents in here do too. They all said amen. Yeah. All right. Listen, seriously. Are you pouring out your life for Christ? Are you pouring your life out in service and for the sake of the gospel? For the sake of your family, your friends, and for this community, most of whom in this community do not have the hope that this 70-year-old African woman has. Most of who do not have the hope that all of us in this room have, I hope, and pray. And somehow, at a certain age, after we've been Christians for a while, we become cold and indifferent to the outside world, and we won't even bother to invite people to church, let alone to expend the time and the energy and the passion to walk alongside somebody and help them mature and become the Christians that God wants them to be. Paul proclaimed the gospel. He warned people of the consequences of sin, and he taught them to obey all that Christ commanded. And everyone in this room has been given the same calling. And it begins with your attitude. If you say, I can't do that, it's good for you, Mel. I can't do that. I agree that you can't do it. It's Christ in you is the secret. The attitude that says, I'm willing to do whatever it takes because of all that Jesus Christ has done for me is an attitude of gratitude that this 70-year-old, uneducated, blind woman was able to do with her life. And I dare say almost everyone in this room has got a leg up on this woman. Begins with your attitude. It's recognizing your purpose and committing all of your earthly and spiritual resources to achieving what God has called you to do. To make disciples. Will you, right now, as we close this message, will you meditate on these two things? God, what can I do? What should I do? And say, help me, even with my own will. You might say, I really do not want to invest in anybody else. I really do not want to invite people to church. I don't really have that desire within me. And just confess it. God, there is something lacking in my gratitude. There's something lacking. Please forgive me. You will answer for that attitude one day. All of us will answer for that attitude. When we see other people receiving their crown and presenting people fully mature in Christ, the regret it's going to be awful. Recognizing your attitude, who will you present? And Lord, show me how to be more effective with my time. All that I am, all that you made me is yours. My time, my talent, my treasure, I lay it all before you. Use me according to your will and for your purpose and glory. Will you completely surrender all that you are to Christ and say, Lord, use me to make disciples. Use me to influence other people. I'm tired. I'm tired of being self-satisfied. Make me willing, Lord. Make me willing. Pray that with me. I'll pray it as well as we close. Father, I pray, first of all, Lord, that everyone in this room would have an outbreak in our hearts of a genuine gratitude for what we have. My goodness, Lord, in our country, we have a lot. We have freedoms. We have wealth. We have prosperity. We have so much, and we've been given so much, Lord, and much is required. I pray, Father, that first and foremost, you would build into our hearts a sense of gratitude that we would want more than anything else just to respond in kind for all you've done by sharing the gospel, sharing the good news with people who do not know you. Father, I pray that each of us, as we do strive, and sometimes we're confused about where we invest our time, our talent, our treasure, we don't know where to go or what to do, I ask, Lord, that you give us directions. Those who are willing or are already on the way, help us to be more effective with our time, our talent, our treasure, to use it more wisely for your glory, not let it be squandered, and let us never forget the reward, as Paul said, the crown that will be presented, the joy in the crown, which is the souls of other people that we will present mature in Christ. Lord, I pray that every one of us in this room could take away from Paul's example, from Paul's instruction, from your very word, God, press it deep within our hearts and let it grow and fester until we react and respond according to your will, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you have not given up on us. And that whether we're 45 or 56 or we're 70 or 90, it is not too late. Please press that truth upon our hearts, Lord, that it is not too late. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to worship you, to know you, and I pray your will is accomplished in our hearts and our lives, that you might be pleased and glorified this week. In Jesus' name, amen.